And welcome back to Push to Talk with Magneto Mel here in our ATC Hour. Craig Anderson and Dan D'Ambrosio. I'm sorry, Grant Anderson. I had Craig last hour. I know who you are. I've been talking to you for 2 days. This is what happens to me this time of the morning. But we're talking about the top 10 pilot mistakes that are made from the perspective of the controllers. And we had just finished talking a little bit about the different kinds of flights, your 91 operators, your 135, your 121s, and how those can translate. And what about the ICAO? I mean, we've always had the ICAO versus the FAA a little bit in the past, as far as phraseology goes. And in the past couple of years, there's been, you know, the definitive push to let's just standardize with the ICAO. But obviously, so much flying has taken place in the U.S., and the FAA phraseology is pretty ingrained. So what sort of communication issues do you see, and do you see them resolving a little bit? Are people sort of getting it?
Well, sometimes. I mean, with the international pilots, it's not so much the phraseology, and it's the limitations in the English. And, of course, if you're a non-native English speaker, the way you've learned, but you still have cultural influences and inflections, which the way something is said influences you. So if we're dealing with a 120-word vocabulary as far as for aviation English, and you have to deviate outside of that, that can be a little rough. But as far as the straight ICAO language, and it's kind of ironic, Mel, when more than half of the world's air traffic is worked here in the United States, but from a global perspective of standardization, well, there's other land masses to try and put through. I'm a little hesitant with a straight change over to ICAO, and the folks working with ICAO are a little hesitant of bringing in some of the U.S. terms. But who knows? Maybe in 10 years it'll be all line up and wait.
Yeah, that's the big thing when things get a little bit crazy is when it's a very similar phrase but means something completely different. For the most part, you know, I think you can kind of figure stuff out, but not when there's ambiguity involved.
No, so. and there's several situations which are allowed in other countries, which we're not allowed to do here in the States. Is for example, something similar to, you know, after the aircraft on final lineup and wait. Well, we're not allowed to give that sort of a decision making process there of saying, assuming the pilot sees the guy and finally he's going to go out. And as far as with our working to prevent runway incursions. There's several other examples too. So it seems as if standardization is a good idea, but as far as any of the two standards, one being superior to the other, obviously I'm biased because what I use is the U.S. standard.
Which we're accustomed to.
Sure.
So do you think that there are, again, trying to talk about the top 10 pilot mistakes, one of the things that I have heard, you mentioned the English and then when one needs to deviate therefrom. Mm-hmm. But when you're dealing with a lot of international pilots for whom English is not the first language, and you've got the U.S. pilots in the airspace who are not only using the U.S. standards as opposed to the ICAO standards, but are also deviating all over the place from standardized aviation phraseology. And just, I think I mentioned one time, it happens from the controllers as well. I received one time on Thanksgiving, I got information turkey. Instead of Tango, which was not too bad, and it was from ground. I mean, it wasn't, you know, center, but you know, I think in one time in the South they gave me Taxiway Dixie instead of Delta. You know, just little things, but military terms that kind of pervade the phraseology, and people aren't taught that. So, do you run into some problems with that? Would you consider that something that should be sort of kept to a minimum or eliminated as possible?
Well, any time. The standardization is there for phraseology for a reason.
A very good reason,
obviously, to
yes.
have everybody on the same sheet of music. Now, there's going to be situations where it just isn't covered or understood and some sort of a plain language version has to come out. And then again, pilots and controllers are humans, and sometimes through want to inject a little humor or something else, it's information Dixie or turkey or something of that nature. But
Even the phrase no joy, mm-hmm. and that's something that I've heard people complain about, that for whom English is not the first language, they come over here and all of a sudden they're given a traffic thing and no joy.
Sure, absolutely.
And mm-hmm. What does that mean?
So. You're trying to listen in as a non-native English speaker with keeping your situational awareness, and you hear no joy, and
which is very common to us. I mean, to some of us, I guess. But
well, sure, all those current or ex-military flyers, and anybody who watches the military movies.
Well, and anybody who's flown with anybody that says that, then you pick it up. So
it's. I mean, it depends on from policy. Like you said, like in down in Mexico, they don't use a lot of radar. And so far, when they come into the United States in certain areas that that they might fly into in the mountains and stuff, they don't use a lot of radar. So the pilots might not be used to certain phraseology that we have to use here in the United States. If we issue traffic that we're required to use in RVSM airspace, what's it, emerging target procedures. You know, 1,000. We were supposed to say traffic. You know, 1,000 or flight level 390 on. You're at flight level 380. We've turned into the stop using that and more using 1,000 feet above you because we've had problems with the pilots will climb, assume that they're given a clearance to climb to flight level 390, and you know they just
now you really have traffic.
Yeah, exactly. So it's we kind of in certain situations we have to go off what's prescribed because of our own personal experiences, and sometimes that might. Be what comes up.
And knowing what's actually filed and approved, but you're not cleared to,
right.
Or, you know, so, yeah, I can imagine.
You know, you were talking the other day about a situation with Mexicana, I guess, as far as their deviations around weather and having no idea really how to
ask.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, they kind of weather ahead where, you know, most pilots are here, like, I have about 60 miles off my nose. I got a thunderstorm I want to deviate around, and we just give them a simple clearance to deviate. Or a Mexicana, or sometimes, you know, I can hear them bouncing around, you know, you hear their voices, inflection from the turbulence, you know, you try to give them all the weather that you can get, that we have available to us on the radar, but they don't, our weather radar in the center is not very accurate because of the range that we use the center radar on.
Right.
So, unfortunately, sometimes we might not be able to give the best weather details. So, they don't know how to deviate or want to deviate. They want to deviate, but they don't know how to ask. And so we try to do our best to work with them. We try it with those pilots. I tend to be a little more explicit than I would be with, say, like a commercial air pilot from the United States here.
And you probably get more of that. You know, you're dealing with the south of the border there because
mm-hmm.
you're right there in Houston.
Right, yeah, I work a lot of the flights are going down, like, especially down to Cancun, Cozumel, and things like that, South America from there.
And do you hear anything about the U.S. pilots as they go on? I mean, we've got our phraseology, but then... You know, they don't use a lot of radar, and our pilots are going to be flying there, are quite used to those kinds of assistive procedures, and they don't have them. So do you get any feedback on the flip side of that?
I do, because when I used to work for a major airline and stuff, we had our procedures that we had to do. They were completely separate from, you know, most countries when we went down to Mexico, and because their procedure, you know, their air traffic control there is not responsible for terrain clearance, per se. They clear you for an approach, but for here we give you an altitude to maintain and to keep you above obstacles, you know, the MBA or the IFR, minimum IFR clearance route. And so therefore there they don't do that. And that's why they've been some incidences in the past where, you know, American carriers have come pretty close or have flown into
terrain. I was going to say, we all know about the times when it's been more than close.
Well, sort of segues back into what we were talking about as far as standardization on phraseology. There's, and we talked the other day with Lutz as far as even trying to make a centralized Euro control, how they're still
Lutz
having
being
all
our
the,
German controller representative
absolutely.
For anybody that wasn't listening then.
Then you can come by the NACA booth and see him today. He's on duty.
He's performing.
Right. Even within standardizations of trying to make a homogenous unit like Eurocontrol, and you have all the separate warring areas there of individual countries and equipments and everything else, when you start flying into Mexico or Central America or South America, the controlling that is going to be done, more than likely, it may be military. It may be a mixed bag of military and civilian, which are competing against each other. And... It's been my experience in speaking with folks that standardized phraseology just sort of falls apart. And, well, obviously that situational awareness and actually listening is something you need to keep in mind.
Right. Okay. Well, we're going to take one more break here. Before we go, I want to go ahead and give out the call-in number, and when we come back on the backside of the ATC hour here, we can take some calls. That number is 920-230-7987, and you can call in, and we'll put you on the air to ask these guys some questions and see if they can give you some response. So anytime you wanted to be chatty with the controllers, here is your opportunity. 920-230-7987, and we will be right back after a short break here on Push to Talk with Magneto Mel in the ATC Hour.